Pastor Lane Stockton.
Good evening. Good to see all of you here again tonight. Trust you had a good afternoon in the Lord. We are going to have to do something with the prayer list. It has grown and grown. If we have to go to two sheets, we will. But sometimes we forget that somebody's gotten better or we got a praise on there, want to take off. So tonight and Wednesday night, if we could go through it, put your initial by the ones you want to keep there. And Brother Jim announced that again Wednesday night. For you, and I'll try to again to remember to tell you after church as well. Just come by. If somebody's on the list that you put there that you want to keep on there, please put initial by their name. Ladies, please sign up over here on this here bulletin board if you want to help or would like to help in the Mother's Day banquet. Please sign up right over here on this one. The Mother's Day banquet is right upon us. We're halfway through the second month of 2017, and time just keeps going. So please sign up, be a help of that. Men, don't forget to bring you a blanket and a pillow, and enjoy Friday night up there, because I don't know the weather. I have not checked it. It may turn out to be pretty cold. It may turn out to be just nice and sunny, but come prepared. That's Friday, 11:30. We're leaving from here. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Glad that you chose to be with us. And some we haven't seen in a while. Glad to have you back. And so hope you enjoy this evening in the service. Those that are traveling, please be in prayer for those. Those that are sick and on our prayer list, please remember to keep them in prayer as well. Remember, no visitation this Saturday. Ladies, if you can be over at Miss Stacy's, you still need directions or need to know the address, please see my wife or Miss Stacy. They have a little card they'll give you. Hope that all of you can make that. I think you'll enjoy your time of fellowship with that. That's this Saturday as well. Mark chapter number 6, and we'll start, I believe, around verse 30. Mark chapter 6. We'll read down to about verse 44 and just spend the time here in the book of Mark. We've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Mark here for a couple of months now, maybe even a little longer than that. So we're in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed unto a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sit down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven blessed, broke the loaves, and gave them to eat, to his disciples to sit before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now the apostles have just returned from their missions trip, their journey. If you remember back over in the book of Mark chapter 6 up to about verse 7, Jesus sent them out. Verse 7 says, and he called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey and save a staff, only no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But he shod with sandals and now put on two coats. And he said, and he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and appointed them, appointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Then verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus there, and he began to tell him all things. What an example it is here that's put before us in verse number 30. They gathered themselves unto Jesus, and they began to rehearse with Jesus what was taught. And the servants, listen, we today, we need to be careful that when we are doing the Lord's work and when we're spending time in the work of the Lord, that we just pause for a moment. We sit down at the feet of Jesus and we rehearse what we've been doing. And we talk to Jesus about what we've been doing. And we spend time with him, because if not, we begin to be like one of the sisters. There was Martha and there was Mary. What did one? Both of them were doing good. Both of them were serving, but one of them got so busy serving. Who was that? And too busy to sit and pause and to talk with Jesus. It became labor. It became burdensome. It became tiresome. If you listen, you need to pause and you need to spend time with the Lord. Sometimes we're so busy, even after church or before, you know, during a say scripture day happened, and you know it's a pretty long day. We had a special preacher in from Tallahassee, entertaining him and entertaining his wife, and preaching, and the excitement of taking up the offering, and you know, and then having a fellowship after church, and then coming back that evening, having church again. You know, if not careful, we don't even stop for a moment to just say, you know, thank you, Lord, for such a great offering. Got so busy, I'm just being honest with you, I forgot to tell the church about the offering. Not on purpose, just busy. Hey, we need to stop for a moment. We need to stop, pause, and spend time with God, gather around God. You know, they had done some great things. They're out on a missionary journey, casting out devils. Many are sick, verse 13, anointed many that were sick and healed them. And verse 30, you know, there's a portion of scripture that's in between that. You know, it's about Herod and John being beheaded, and the dancing of Herodias' daughter, and John, you know, head being brought on the charger. And then they come together. The scripture brings us back and puts us right at the feet of Jesus. And the apostles were told there in verse 31, he said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. That's why it's so important that on at least one day of a week that we sit aside for God. To rest the body, to rest the mind, to just pause and say, Lord, you know, this is your day. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to let my mind be refreshed. And the Bible says here, it said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. It's an Old Testament principle there in the Word of God that even at creation, we read today, all the way up there to day six, if we'd have read on to the next chapter, and the Lord rested. The Lord rested. It's good to rest. It's good to spend time, you know, because if you don't come apart, you don't, listen, today it seems few Christians need to be constrained today to rest, unfortunately. It's sad. Few Christians need to be constrained to rest. It seems as though we live in the most laziest time of Christian it's amazing to me, you know. We can do and go and come and be, and if you have a revival, nobody will show up. Spend 6 days over at SeaWorld, everybody wants to be at SeaWorld. Fair. Listen, God's not saying be lazy. You know what God's saying? Work, for the night is coming. But at the end of the week, pause, come apart, sit at the feet of Jesus, and rest your body and your mind. Rest your body and your mind. You need to find time to spend with the Lord. The Bible says they had no leisure as much as even to eat. And in verse 32, you find there's a private departure. I mean, it got so bad that Jesus, they departed into desert place by ship privately. I mean, they tried to sneak out the back door and tried to get up to the other side. And you know, as they're going, somehow or another, somebody saw them. Verse 33, the Bible says that somebody, how they saw them. They ran by foot around the lake and got to the other side. The Bible says there, and they went, they outwent them. Now, I have never used that word. That is, I saw that as I was reading this study. Says, and the Bible says, and outwent them. I said, Lord have mercy, is that even a word? It's in the Bible, it's there. It sounds like something that I would have, I make up things all the time. I mean, they saw Jesus, and the multitude got so, I mean, they got on foot, and from every city, the Bible says, they went and on the other side, and guess what Jesus said, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out of the ship, bang, there they were. There they were, and he saw much people. Saw much people there. You know, of course they were hungry. We read on to the story there. We read on through there. It's been there. But listen, I just want you to realize this, that Jesus rested and told them to rest this day. But today the Bible says he lives to evermore make intercession for you and I. He's sitting at the right hand throne of God. And there's times in our life that, listen, we need intercession. There's times in our life when nobody else can intercede. Jesus is not resting. He's not checked out on the job. Jesus there. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Sometimes, just to be honest, sometimes it feels like in our flesh that even Jesus is resting on the job, doesn't it? Seems like, I mean, he just seems like he's, you know, where are you going? He snuck out privately. Where is Jesus at? You know, and sometimes there's songwriters that write songs and said, you know, in the middle of their song, they say, Jesus, can you hear us? Are you there? Are you hear the prayers? He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And this passage, as you read on, you see Jesus look out there. He just got done telling the disciples, you're going in and out. There's not time to eat. Go rest. Spend some time apart. They come out of the ship, and Jesus says, and what is it? He has compassion on the multitudes. Verse 35, the disciple says, listen, Lord, it's late. Listen, Lord, the day is far spent. Lord, can you please send the people away so that they can go and buy food? And the days pass. We're out here in the desert, Lord. Send them away. But back in verse 34, what Jesus did, he began to teach them many things. He was more concerned about the spiritual than the physical. If we're not careful, dear friend, this world and our culture surely where we live, all the carnality that is around us, the things to do for the flesh, if we're not careful, dear friends, we allow the appetite of the flesh to overcome the spiritual. And Jesus looked out, he had compassion, and he began to teach them. And he took a moment, even in the middle of this and all this compassion, he took a moment. He said, listen, even the multitude needs refreshment. Even the multitude. So he stopped. Guys, in verse 36, hey, you send them away. Why don't you go buy something? We don't have no money. We can't do it. We don't know what to do, Lord. We don't have any money. We don't have 200 penny worth of bread, Lord. We can't buy anything for them. If we want to buy, there's not even a store. The bakers are shut down. It's late in the day. If you know anything about the system that works over there, we lived in Greece for 10 years, and early in the morning, you had to go to the bread store and buy your bread. There was no Sunday. Early in the morning, everybody go early in the morning, buy the bread. Come noontime, the bread shop was shut down. The disciples knew this. There was no place to buy. And Jesus said, listen, see what's going on around us. See what we got. There was 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Now, the correlating passage of this, we won't turn over there tonight because we're studying the book of Mark, is found in the book of John. If you want to take and study, it's a good study to lay these two out aside and put them together. But in John chapter 6, if you want to, you can go study through the book of Mark and study through the book of John. Andrew, he went and found the little lad. Andrew did. He went and found him. Who went and found Peter? Andrew is Peter's brother. Who went and found Peter? Andrew. Who gets most of the publicity, if you would say it like that, throughout Scripture? Peter. Peter. But never once do you find Andrew complaining. Never once you find Andrew saying, Lord, you know, you asked a whole lot from Peter. What about me? You know, it's not always the one that gets the most human glory that is the one who is responsible for the fruit that's being laid and caught. Now, I guarantee you this. I don't know at all Granny Ward. If you know the history of the church, Granny Ward started a cottage prayer meeting years ago. Many years ago, started a cottage prayer meeting in her home. Want to have prayer. Do you think for one moment she thought for all the years down through here that there would be so many people saved throughout Lockheed Baptist Church? You think I'm responsible? I didn't start the cottage prayer meeting. You think Pastor Riggs, Rigsby, who was here 19 years, you think he was responsible for the church growing for the size it was? Where do you think the fruit's going to be laid at? You think Jimmy Franks was here for 14 years, the church grew to so much, and we built this big building in here, you think Pastor Franks is going to be the one getting with Granny Ward? No. You don't even know Granny Ward. I don't know. I've never met her. If she was walking there, if she was to be resurrected, walk in today, I wouldn't even recognize her outside a few little pictures we have hanging around here. It's not always the one who gets the most publicity. I understand the pastor stands up here, and the pastor's generally the face of the church, and everybody knows Lockhaven, they know the pastor, and that. You may be unknown to mankind, but your work is not unknown to God. I think about this all day, boys. As Miss Ward has started those prayer meetings and through time, and all the folks that have died and gone to heaven. And everybody knows the thought, boy, when I get to heaven, I want to see my loved one. I guarantee you, dear friend, I want to see my loved ones too. But I want to see Jesus. And I've often thought about this because the day with the Lord's a thousand years, the day with the Lord. Whatever, because God's outside of time. But whatever amount of time it is, if it's 1,000, 100 years, whatever, and we get done conversating with the Lord says to whoever it was, let me introduce you to the lady who started the prayer meetings out there in the Boggy Creek community and take them over and say, you are saved because of, Miss Moore, this is the fruit of your efforts. So I want to thank your Sunday school class is just a Sunday school class. Don't ever think that bus route is just, it's just a bus route. Don't ever think Discovery Club is just, they're putting me over here to babysit children. We never know that your part and your effort is not like an Andrew who heard the Lord preach and stopped and went and found his brother Peter and brought Peter back and introduced him to the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 was saved. 3,000 was saved because of Andrew. 5,000 sit down. They say in the other portion of John that was men and men alone. That doesn't include the women and the children. Because Andrew was out in the congregation of the people and intermingling with the people, and he saw this little lad and made talk with this little lad. This little lad's lunch, which seems very small, five fishes and two loaves? Five loaves and two fishes? And I don't know why all these English teachers keep telling me that fish is plural. God said fishes. I'll take God's word on it. Fishes. Somehow or another, here is a person that was interested in a little lad and found out, and here's 5,000 men plus women and children that have been fed. He's part of the miracle. So you have Andrew who knew about the little boy, and you have the little boy. Wait a minute, it doesn't quit there. Who packed the little boy's lunch? She's responsible. You know, they say the hand that crocks the cradle will rule the world. Rocks the cradle will rule the world. Ladies, your job is very, very important. Very, very important. See, all we see is, man, the Lord just sent them down, broke some bread, 5,000 men are eating. Oh, it's bigger than that. It's much bigger. We got to get to the point where we realize that this is much bigger than me and you. This is much bigger. God's just taking our little bit and magnifying it. Because that's how God works. A little bitty lad who brought a lunch that his mama, well, I wonder who caught the fish. Probably his daddy down there. Cooked him up a couple of fish. Honey, put these over there in that salt and preserve them, keep them there. Probably dad out there working in that field, brought that meal. Mom churned it around, made some cornbread meal out of it, some bread meal. Made a little cake. All that. And Jesus used it. Not only were they filled, the Bible says they took up 12 basketful of fragments and of the fishes. Two fish and bread. What fruit? See, little as much when God's in it. We discount God when we say God can't do nothing with this class. God can't do nothing with this group. Well, with 12, one of them full of the devil, he turned the world upside down. Turned the world upside down. Matter of fact, he called three of them aside and said, let's go pray, guys. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's spend some time together in prayer. And those three, they were so sleepyheads, they couldn't even stay up. They were cutting logs before Jesus got down on his knees good. And yet he's used them. He used them. And more I see in this, the more I look at this, you notice how he said, bring me the fish. He blessed, make them sit down. It kind of goes with what 1 Corinthians. Look over in 1 Corinthians. This is how Jesus operates, according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14. And verse 40. So he sent them down by hundreds, by fifties, and sent them down. There they are, sitting down on the green grass. There in order, he calls the disciples up. He takes the bread. He blesses. He breaks the bread. Breaks the fishes. They begin to distribute it and they get it out there. And then at the end, there's not a mad mob. There's not somebody rushing to, you know, and all. Same thing with the manna. The manna fell. Take what you need for the day. You took more what you need. Guess what? I've spoiled. Wasn't going to last through the day. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Their whole passage, everything's done decent and in order. And when it's done decent and in order, all glory goes back to God. All glory. You know what? They could have, there could have been a group of men there saying, where's that fish going? Where's that bread going? They could have took it and took it themselves, and they could have ran off with it. They could have took it up to the hills and stole the little boy's stuff and everything been out of order. Then what would have happened, preacher? Jesus was still on the scene. But it wasn't a mad mob. You know, whenever there's anger and bitterness and frustration and turmoil and strife and schism, I guarantee you, you're outside the will of God. Because he's a God of order. Everything's done in order. There's an order about things of God. And here they are. Jesus said, let's get away. Let's rest. Let's spend some time of rest. Let's spend some time away. We're tired. We don't even have time to eat. They get in the boat prior. They get over to the other side, and there they are. Dang, all the people. And Jesus said, hey, there's people. He had compassion on them, fed them, taught them, spent time with them. It was after this miracle that Jesus gave his sermon on the mount about the bread of life. Go back over and look in John 6. Not tonight. I'm not going over there. But after this here event, this miracle, then Jesus gave a sermon about the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. You think that was an eye-opening? Now, all of a sudden, Jesus worked with these colorful pictures. They're hungry. They're tired. What we got? We don't have no money to buy. We got these little fish loaves. He breaks it, breaks it. Jesus did it, and then he preaches that great sermon about the bread of life. You think that wasn't opening their eyes? You don't think it got their attention? You know, when you go through the Word of God, you know why it's so important that we stay busy studying and reading and spending time in the Word of God? When life happens, as it will tomorrow when you wake up, God always brings you through a passage of Scripture that just puts a little gas in your tank and says, I'm on your side. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm for you. This morning, Brother Jim was filling in for Brother Bill, and he said, last week in the Book of Mark, we saw where a girl was dancing, and it wreaked havoc, caused John's head to get cut off. And then today, the lesson was about the women out there and the dancing and singing about David. Saul has killed his hundreds and David his thousands. And you know, he said, you know, we better be careful about these women dancing. It always causes trouble. Always. I thought, isn't that amazing how God just here, he just brings passages of Scripture through and into us at certain periods of our life that just encourages us. It just brings us to a point to realize that God's in control. God's in control. And it's not about one person. Not about one person at all. You remember I named all those folks? Granny Ward's gone. Brother Franks is pastoring in Kentucky. Brother Rigsby's gone with the Lord. God's prophets keep going. But God's work continues. It's not about the man that holds the position. It's about the God of the man. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night of the studies in the book of Mark. We thank you for your word, Lord, that endured forever. God, it's forever settled. And the encouragement that we get out of, well, what a great miracle how you took that bread, Lord, you broke it and you took those fishes. God, it just, it's an amazing thing to even think about. And then it was all said and done. There was 12 basketful of fragments, just leftovers, 12 basketfuls. How amazing a miracle. God, help us never forget the little one, the little boy with the food, the mama who made the bath, the daddy who worked and put it together, the home that provided such a little meal. But when you got involved, it was great. Help us always to remember here at Lock Haven, little as much when God's in it. Unless you build this house, we labor in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Instrument.